Good morning, and a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and godmothers and grandmothers that are with us. Happy Mother's Day to us all. Before we begin the homily proper, if I can just say a quick little story about Mother's Day that I just read last night. It was about a church school classes were up on Mother's Day in the church. And they lined up all the children, and it got to this young boy, and they were all, each of the children were called to memorize a scripture verse and recite it in church. And this little boy was frozen, and he forgot his memorization, and he looked to his mother, and his mother tried to whisper to him, "I am the light of the world." And he goes, "My mother is the light of the world." So there you have it. There's some truth in that as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. Christ is risen. One of the things I love most about our faith, and especially about the lessons we see from the gospel, is just how much our teachings take somewhat typical or popular understandings of things and completely flip them on their heads. So many times throughout the gospel, there are interactions with Jesus and his disciples, with his disciples asking their Lord a question. And he very rarely answers the question, but instead teaches them that they are, in fact, asking the wrong question. And this happens again in today's gospel account of the man born blind, with the disciples asking a question that many of us continue to ask today. Why this suffering? Just this past week, Father Peter and I had the opportunity to visit someone in the hospital, and we are confronted with that age-old question of, why me? Why does this happen to me? Or sometimes, why is God doing this to me? And when the disciples see this man born blind today, they ask that same question, with different wording, but really the same kind of question. Who sinned that this man was born blind? Was it his sin or his parents? To which Jesus again responds, not with a direct answer, but with a new direction. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. We see today a dynamic shift in our understanding of sin, that is, from the old Jewish understanding to the new Christian understanding. And the old mindset was one to investigate the cause of suffering and find blame in some sinner. But it is characteristic of Christianity today to reach out and to transform. The Old Testament law of Moses could very well condemn a man, but it could not heal him. For that, we need the grace and truth that comes through Jesus Christ. And in today's gospel account, Jesus is very clear that not all suffering is the direct result of sin. And in the case of the man born blind, it was neither he who sinned in the womb, nor his parents before he was born. He's teaching his disciples, which is us, by the way, to not look for causes as judges, but to look for opportunities that the works of God, the works of healing, of forgiveness, the works of love and of newness of life, might be made manifest in him, might be made manifest in this suffering. When we gaze upon the cross, or even upon the icon of the crucifixion, we don't ask the question that the disciples asked at the beginning of this gospel passage. As Christians, we don't look at the crucifixion and ask, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would deserve such suffering? Because we know the truth. He is innocent. Christ, the God-man himself, shows us on the cross that our suffering is not merely a byproduct of our own wickedness. Despite what we may selfishly think, no act that we commit is truly isolated. Both our sins and our holiness affect those around us. Suffering does not pick its targets by who is at fault. We can suffer from the actions of others, and we can cause suffering in others by our own actions. We are not protected from suffering by not being at fault. We all too often seek our own rational answers for the suffering we come to face in our lives. Or even worse, we offer cheap answers for the suffering that others face. But Christ tells us something profound here. He tells us essentially that suffering is a mystery. And we aren't here to answer where it comes from or try and conclude that it comes from the sins of our parents or even from our own sins. Suffering is a mystery, a mysterion, the same word we use for sacraments. Suffering is a sacrament. And this is the same message that has been preached through the centuries. We have the icons, and we have the relics of such saints right here in our church. Righteous, holy, devout, giving, caring, loving men and women who offered every fiber of their being to Christ and His church. And how does their story end? Does it end in prosperity and riches and blessings in this life, as so many popular TV evangelists and American Christian teaching might have you believe? Of course not. We know that it ended in martyrdom, in suffering, in being victims of this fallen world. But this is because the saints were not seeking and desiring crowns of this world, but of the crowns of glory that never fade. The only truth we know in the face of suffering is that it can be transformed. It can be used for the glory of God. Any kind of trouble is an opportunity to demonstrate the glory of God in our own lives. After all, the man's blindness that we read about today has contributed and changed the course of salvation for those around him, for the disciples, for the Pharisees, even for his parents, and for 2,000 years of Christian history. Even in today's epistle reading, we hear how Saints Paul and Silas were unjustly beaten by rods and thrown into prison with their feet locked. How do they respond? They pray and sing hymns to God throughout the night so that the entire prison could hear. As a result, a miracle happens and the prison doors are opened. But Paul and Silas do not use this as an opportunity to escape prison. Instead, they use it as an opportunity to preach the gospel and tell others about salvation in Christ. And as a result, the prison guard himself believes. He and his whole family are baptized, and they all begin their journey of salvation. Here, Paul and Silas turn their suffering into victory. Their affliction becomes an opportunity for the glory of God. When trouble and suffering fall upon someone who does not know God, he or she may very well collapse. But when it falls upon someone who walks with God, it brings out strength. It brings out beauty, endurance, and nobility, which are within all of our hearts when God is there. It has been told that when an elder nun was dying in an agony of pain, she sent for the other sisters of the monastery and said to them, "Come and see how a Christian can die." The fathers of the church have always stressed the importance of not to trouble ourselves first with the causes or cures of our own illnesses. Rather, our primary focus should be to discern their meaning within the framework of our relationship to God and to shed light on the positive function they have in furthering our salvation. When we achieve this, as difficult as it may be, we can face our illnesses, our pains, our difficulties, and pray to God that this is merely an affliction of the flesh, but that it be for the lifting up of our souls. God does not permit illness to degrade us, as St. John Chrysostom writes, but because he wants to make us better, more wise, and more submissive to his will, which is the basis for our salvation. When we focus and struggle with the unanswerable question and difficulty of the fairness of this world, that is when we are detached from an eternal truth, that this world is not all there is. Simply put, we are not here to answer the mystery of suffering. We are here to show the glory of God amidst that suffering, for He is the light of the world. And to Him is due all glory, honor, and worship, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Christ is risen.